Say for a few moments there is a word from the Lord this morning. Again, as it comes from the scripture that has already been read for you from Luke, the 6th chapter, verses 17 through 26. Now, I'm sure many of you all are familiar with this passage of text, especially when we get to the 20th verse of the text, 20 through 26. This passage of text, my Bible talks about happy people and doomed people, but I believe we know it better as the Beatitudes. Speaks of happy are those, or blessed are those who. So it's real easy when you look at this passage of text, and as I've named it, the Beatitude, because it is a state of being, it is a mindset. When you follow the Beatitudes, it's easy to be happy when you have things. It's a lot harder when you're lacking. Some folks have grown up lacking and never knowing that they lacked. So it's a mindset, if I can state it that way. Happy are you who are poor, because God's kingdom is yours. If we follow it according to the Common English Bible, the New Revised Standard places it in this words: blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. So what he tells us is, in order to be happy, it seems like there's going to be a trade-off. You're either going to be happy now and pay for it later, or you're going to be sad now and happy later on. Any of y'all feel like that's the way it works? Where you're either going to be all now and lacking later, or you're going to be lacking now and get it all later. We have a God that works that way? Or do we have one whom you understand is fair, who's loving, who really looks out for his people? One that reminds us that it's going to rain on the just and the unjust, just as the sun will shine on the just and the unjust. Amen. What this passage of text is, as we look at the Beatitude, is that for those that have, we should share. We should look out for those who are less fortunate than us, than others, because that's what God is doing. He's reminding us that if we are in need of anything, he will provide. And if you have too much right now and you don't help others, that eventually it will be taken away. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again I stand before you. An empty pitcher before you, a full fountain. Asking, Father, again, that you would fill me now. That you would use me now. Father, that in your using, that you would hide me so that you are seen. That this voice you would touch and use to be yours so that you are heard. Father, as we're looking at these Beatitudes, allow this message to find its way out into those whom you've given an ear to hear, to those whom you've given a heart to receive, Father, to those whom you've given a will to do. Help us to understand what it is to have a being attitude. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, this text, it starts as Jesus is coming down from a mountain, and you realize the mountain is that refuge place where Jesus normally hangs out. He goes to the mountain to pray. But let's put this in real context so that you all understand what this mountain is. A mountain for any radical, any Messiah. And N.T. Wright would say that a Messiah is somebody that was born to die. That's it. He was born to die. He came to do what God has called him to do, but ultimately he was not here, but for a brief period of time. His ministry was 3.5 years. He came, he did, he died. Now,
That's not all he did, because in his dying he rose again. Which in his rising allowed us to rise with him. If we believe. If our name is written in the book of life. Please take time to make sure your name gets in there. But he is on the mountain, and a mountain is a place that gives you refuge if you really understand. Have you ever tried to talk up a mountain? Don't get very far, does it? Have you ever tried to throw anything up a mountain? You can't hit anything up a mountain. But if you're on a mountain, you can see all around you what's coming, what's there. You have a space to work with of advantage. It don't take much to throw something down off a mountain and hit somebody. Your voice will travel down quicker than it'll travel up. So as he is on the mountain surveying and taking account of what's going on, when he comes off the mountain, he is surrounded by a host of people. They come for him to bless, touch, heal. And he does those things. He has sat on the mountain. He has communed with God. He has been filled. He comes down. He does his healing, his teaching, his ministry. And he begins to talk to the people that have and those that don't. He says, it's okay, my brothers and sisters, if you are poor, because yours is the kingdom of God. He says, it's okay, my brothers and sisters, if you are hungry, because in the end, you will be satisfied. He says, it's okay right now if you're weeping and crying, because you will eventually laugh. Now, I can take that in two ways. See, we weep and cry when we lose a loved one. But joy comes in knowing that they have gone home to be with the Father. Joy comes if we know and we're assured that their living was not in vain. We're joyed and excited because we know they're no longer suffering or in pain. Yes, we're sad that we've lost them, because that's our human nature. But our spiritual nature is excited, because we know we'll see them again. Happy are you, he says, when people hate you, reject you, insult you, and condemn your name as evil because of me. Common English Bible says because of the human one. If you are a child of God, some folks are not going to like you. They're going to say all kinds of things about you and going to try to do all kinds of things to you. But that's okay, is what he's saying. He says, rejoice when these things happen. Leap for joy, because you have a greater reward in heaven. God, I'm going through all of this suffering, and people are rejecting me and talking about me and treating me any kind of way. Wouldn't it be easier if I just throw in the towel and hang out with them? Wouldn't it be easier if I was like the thief on the cross that was hanging next to Jesus, that when the crowd started ridiculing him, I jumped right in? That it make folks like the thief on the cross anymore? No. He was just like Jesus, hanging there. He wanted to fit in so bad that he ridiculed the one that was hanging there that could save him. Don't be like them. Christ said, it's all right. They ridiculed, your ancestors ridiculed the prophets the same way, but it's okay. Take it. Smile at it. That adversity should only make you stronger for me. So, my brothers and sisters, we're going through some things. We like to say, what doesn't kill you does what? Oh, come on now. Come on now. Y'all should be able to say that. It should just roll off your tongue if you believe it. If it doesn't kill you, it does what?
Makes you stronger.
So when you're suffering, when you're not where you want to be, when you're having a few mismealed crabs, when folks are talking about you, when there's weeping in your spirit, those things should strengthen you. To know that God is with you, that in the end, you will be okay. Now, on the other side, he begins to talk about those things who have already received. And see, I look at this as a two-way street as well, because some folks receive and they know how to use their abundance and their gifts to help everybody else. He's not talking about those folks. Because see, Christ's thing was about helping lift up others, to help build up others and bring others to God. He's talking about how terrible it is for those who are rich because they have already received their comfort. The problem with that is if you've already received, if you are rich, let me parse my words very clearly and correctly. It's not a problem to be rich. It is a problem to let the richness take over your life. It's not a problem to have wealth. It's the problem comes when wealth is all you want, that you cannot and will not or refuse to help others with your richness. We can look at Lazarus and the rich man, right? Lazarus sitting at the gate, needing a crust of bread, a crumb, a morsel of something to eat, and the rich man would not come off of his place and feed him or give him any kind of assistance. And they both died, right? Text says they both died. Rich man went to hell. Lazarus went to heaven. There was a divide. Rich man woke up and saw Lazarus sitting in the bosom of Abraham, if I'm saying it correctly, and asked Abraham, can you allow Lazarus to come down and just give me a drink of water? Story says that Abraham told him, it's not possible for Lazarus to come down. There's a divide there. But even still, how you treated him when you all were living. So that rich man said, "What? Can you allow me to at least go back and talk to my brothers, to my family, to let them know it's hot down here? They need to change their life." I might be adding to the story a little bit, but you understand what I'm saying, right? I'm in hell. I need to be able to help somebody else from coming where I am. And if I get it right, I think Abraham said, they didn't hear you while you was a living. What makes you think they're going to listen to you when you're dead? So those who are rich have already received a reward, have received their comfort. If you have, it's not about having, but it's about what you do with it. How terrible is it for you who have plenty now, because you will be hungry? How terrible it is for you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. How terrible for you when all speak well of you, because their ancestors did the same things to the false prophets. My brothers and sisters, a beatitude is one that where you are in life is okay as long as you're helping somebody else to move up, to move closer to God. The things that we love the most, the things that we put all our time and energy in, if it takes you away from God, are the wrong things. The things that we love the most, that we put our most energy in, if it causes you to hurt someone else to receive it, is not happy, is not pleasing to God. It's not a kill or be killed, or I'm going to step on you to get where I need to be. The being attitude is one in which we're going to both get there together. As I move forward, I bring you forward with me. I can't step on somebody else, create problems for them in order to better myself. I've already received my reward when I do those things. A beatitude is one of a missional person, one who seeks out those who are less fortunate and finds a way to help bring them along. If it wasn't the case, God would have never sent Christ to be born in a manger, to suffer on a cross, that everybody who believes in him would have eternal life. So I'm thankful. I am over the moon, excited and joyful that God sent me here to St. Luke's, where we have the beatitude, where we look for ways to help those who are less fortunate, where we find ways to lift up one another, where no one that I have seen since I've been here goes away hungry, that even when you're sad, someone is there to help lift you up. So I pray that you all will take the beatitude that you have and share it with the rest of this world. That light shines here in St. Louis. It's the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.